Welcome to Book Bistro, where book enthusiasts come to chat about the books they love in a warm and supportive environment. Today is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. This is Shannon, and today I am here with Natalia, Robin, Melissa, Christine, Georgina, and Stacy, and we are talking about books coming out in May. May is a phenomenal month for new releases, and we are so excited to tell you so many of the things that we are looking forward to reading. So we are going to get started with the usual housekeeping information. Then Natalia will start us off, followed by me, Stacy, Georgina, Melissa, Robin, and finally, Christine. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Book Bistro Podcast. There we have our usual Facebook page where we keep track of our Wednesday reads and also post information about the Friday episodes. We also have a Facebook listener group that you're welcome to join. And if you prefer a different type of listener group, you can contact us and ask about our WhatsApp group. Both groups are pretty small, not super high traffic, and we would love to have you. If you want to get in touch with us off of social media, you can do so by sending an email to thebookbistropodcast@gmail.com. If you're looking for our main hosting page, where you can find information on the podcatchers that make Book Bistro available to you, you can find that information in our show notes.
So the first book I want to mention tonight is I Will Ruin You by Linwood Barclay. And Linwood Barclay is one of my favorite authors for probably the last 16 years or so. So I'm very much looking forward to this novel. Comes out on May 7th, 2024. Only 12 days away from now. Can you tell that I'm counting the days? So I Will Ruin You is a book that asks us all the question we often contemplate inside ourselves, which is how we would react during dangerous life or death situations. Would we flee? Would we be brave? Would we hide? Would we be antagonistic? We never really know until we're faced with it, but we definitely like to think of different scenarios in our own minds just for entertainment, or because, like me, maybe you read a lot of books with different scenarios and you put yourself into the life of your characters. Well, our character Richard Doyle, who is an English teacher at a school, gets to understand what his reactions would be in real life for him in a scenario where his student comes to school with a bomb strapped to his chest and he is going to detonate the bomb and hurt a lot of people. However, thanks to some quick thinking, Richard talks his student down from committing this tragic act, and well, his act of heroism, while viewed by a lot of people as a great thing, has left some people uncomfortable and unsettled. This includes a deranged blackmailer who feels like he has a score to settle. And what score? We don't know. But somehow the situation rapidly spirals out of control, drawing Richard into a web of salacious accusation and deadly secrets. As he tries to uncover the truth, Richard discovers something deeper that's going on in town, something that ties together Mark, the student who tried to bomb the school, a drug dealer gang, and, well, the blackmailer that's blackmailing Richard. So he's in the middle of this entire situation, desperate to find a way out, but has no one that he can trust because everyone seems to be hiding something, and trusting the wrong person can cost him everything he holds dear. What price will he pay for one good deed? As they say, no good deed goes unpunished. So to find out what happens to Richard and what he's being blackmailed about, because I know that's what I want to know, and how he gets out of this mess, you want to read I Will Ruin You by Linwood Barclay, out on May 7th, 2024. Linwood Barclay has been one of my favorite authors for a very long time, and I have to say that none of the books I have read by him have disappointed me. I especially loved The Accident, Never Look Away. The Accident, I think, was probably my favorite.
So my first book is one that I kind of found by accident. I was originally planning to talk about something else, and then I stumbled upon this one, and I am so glad I did. This is The Z Word by Lindsay King Miller, and it comes out on May 7th, and I am so, so excited. So this is a post-apocalyptic queer novel, and our main character is Wendy, and she's been living in Arizona for a while. She suffered a bad breakup. Things aren't great. You know, she's just kind of trying to figure out if this is where she really wants to be, if this is where her people are. And then an infection breaks out. And as we know from novels like this, infections are very, very bad. And people are turning into zombies. So, you know, that's bad, right? Like, we don't want zombies. I mean, we do in books, but the people who are in the books don't want them. So now Wendy is joining forces with some of her friends and people that she's not so sure of. Like, maybe they're her friends, but maybe they have other motives. And they are trying to stay alive. But they're also trying to figure out who or what is responsible for the spread of this infection. And hopefully they can do this without being killed by zombies or each other. I need this. I need this. I need this. I need this. There are so few post-apocalyptic books that have a diverse cast. And I am just really, really excited for this one. I love the queer representation. And I just think it's cool that, like, a band of LGBTQ people are joining forces to, like, save the world. So this is one I will be reading as soon as it comes out. It is The Z Word by Lindsay King Miller. And it comes out on May 7th.
I will be getting this as well because there are not enough good post-apocalyptic books. And again, I agree with Shannon, not enough with good diverse representation. And so lots of white dudes in post-apocalyptic fiction.
It's true.
I'm looking forward to this as well. My first book of the evening is a book by one of my favorite authors that I've been reading since approximately 2010. And this is Look on the Bright Side by Kristen Higgins. I think she's sort of a book bistro favorite, I think. And this book comes out on May 28th. This book is about Lark Smith. And Lark has a plan for her life, as organized people who are not me, as they often do. And in Lark's plan, she plans to find a great guy and have a marriage that's just as solid and fabulous as her parents' marriage. She wants to have a couple babies, and she wants to build a thriving oncology practice. That sounds like a very ambitious life plan. And as most of us who are over the age of about 24 know, things don't always go according to your life plan. And in fact, things are really not going according to her life plan. The guy that she had sort of intended as her partner is no longer in the picture. And her parents actually just split up. And she's not working in oncology anymore because, you know, she can't help that she cries a lot. She cares about people. So she's kind of struggling when she sort of sees a glimmer of light. And that glimmer of light comes from Dr. Lorenzo Santini, who's known as Dr. Satan. And he needs a date to some sort of summer festivities. Dr. Satan needs a date to his summer activities. And, well, Santini, but you know, he's known behind his back as Dr. Satan. He doesn't sound like a very nice person. And so he said that if she can act as his sort of fake date to these family events, because he wants to make his old noni feel happy, then, you know, he can maybe help Lark get back into the field of oncology. Well, Lark doesn't see anything wrong with this. She likes, you know, old people and fake relationships, and she's happy to help. So she decides she'll spend this summer helping him out. Well, she kind of falls in love with his big family and is kind of interested in his estranged brother. And then her mother moves in with Lark's kind of joyful, exuberant landlady. And the three of them spend this summer by the ocean trying to figure out what life has in store for them. I'm all about this book. I love Kristen Higgins. She just has a very distinctive writing voice, and she is someone that in every book I read, at some point has me bursting into tears, and also, like, you know, from just sentimentality or something sad or rough to read about and emotional. But then she also has me crying with laughter in every book, even the ones that don't have as much of the rom-com vibe as her earlier books. So I'm looking forward to reading Look on the Bright Side by Kristen Higgins that comes out on May 28th.
I love her sort of like redemptive summer arcs. Like things are, you know, really messed up. And then you have this like one summer to get it straightened out. And I don't know. There's just something really special about those types of books. They remind me a little bit of like the Luann Rice stuff that I used to read
Yes.
back like in the early 2000s.
Everything always feels a little bit
Yes.
easier to bear as long as you're by the water.
My first book is Think Twice, My Rumbold or
Yeah,
Tarn,
you're
number
right.
12 by Harlan Coben. This comes out May 14th. Myron, 3 years ago, gave a eulogy at a coach he used to know 3 years ago. But imagine his surprise when two FBI agents walk into his office and demand to know where Greg Downing is. Myron is shocked, and the agents insist that he is still alive and still at that he is responsible for a double homicide. Myron and his sidekick Wynne go on a hunt looking for clues. This is Think Twice, Myron Bolitar number 12 by Harlan Coben. This comes out May 14th. Of course, this is probably filled with Myron Bolitar's childish drinks of Yoo-hoo and his sarcastic sense of humor, and of course, wins his danger. I can't wait till this comes out. I thought he'd stop writing these when he started writing his nephews from Myron's nephew's point of view. So this should be interesting to see.
My first book, and I'll try to chop up the synopsis some, is also called, it is called Love at First Book by Jen McKinley. And it comes out on May 14th. And it talks about a librarian who moves to an Irish village where her favorite novelist lives. And not only does she help her finish her final book, she also falls for her son. But there's a lot of things going on that she didn't expect, like the writer's block that she had, and her son being so prickly is the word they use. So somehow they managed to get this book started at least, but it doesn't tell us any more than that because they want us to read the book.
Imagine that.
Yeah. So it is Love at First Book by Jen McKinley.
Doesn't she have like the cupcake series
She has the
too? Like
cupcake series. She has a hook, line, and sinker. Is I can't think of the full series, but it's a librarian and a and on an island solves
murders.
Oh,
yeah, I think I've seen those.
Then she has Justice Must Love Dogs was the first one in that series. It was like
Oh,
a
I remember
romance with a
those.
dog. And yeah, so she has a pretty good series out there.
So I am really excited that Cat Sebastian's next book is coming out in May. This is You Should Be So Lucky by Cat Sebastian, and it's out on May 7th. This is set in the same universe as We Could Be So Good, which came out last year and really was so good. You Should Be So Lucky is a slow burn romance, including themes of grief and found family. And our two love interests are a star shortstop who is stuck in a batting slump, and the reporter who is assigned to cover the shortstop's first season. And we are told that the reporter is reluctantly covering the shortstop's first season. The 1960 baseball season is shaping up to be the worst year of Eddie O'Leary's life. He can't manage to hit the ball. His new teammates hate him, he's living out of a suitcase, and he's homesick. That's from the synopsis. And already, we're getting a very clear picture of someone who is just not feeling good about life and doesn't really have any support. To make matters worse, the team owner orders him to give a bunch of interviews to some snobby reporter. Eddie is ready to call it quits. He can barely manage to behave himself for the length of a game, let alone an entire season. But he's already on thin ice, so he's got no choice but to agree to these interviews. And it looks like things aren't going much better for Mark Bailey. He's not a sports reporter. He writes for the arts page, for goodness sakes. And these days, he barely even manages to do that much. He's had a rough year and just wants to be left alone to hide in his too empty apartment, mourning a partner he has never been able to be public about. The last thing he needs is to spend a season writing about New York's obnoxious new shortstop. This is apparently a stunt to get the struggling newspaper more readers. Poor Mark. Life's rough for these two. Experiencing isolation of a game that always keeps you on the road, that's Eddie. And grief, that's Mark. And the inevitable anonymity that comes with living in New York City. These two are thrown together because of their jobs. And of course, because this is a romance. And eventually, they do give in to their mutual attraction. But Mark has vowed that he'll never be someone's secret ever again. And Eddie can't be out as a professional athlete. It's them against the world, and they'll both have to decide if that's enough. I think I know who Mark is, if he's the same Mark who showed up in We Could Be So Good. And there was definitely a lot going on with him, so I'm looking forward to getting to know him better, and I'm hoping we will get some glimpses of characters from the previous book. So once again, this is You Should Be So Lucky by Kat Sebastian, and it's out on May 7th.
My first book is When We Were Silent by Fiona McPhillips. This is a debut novel, and it is a boarding school novel, which I know is a favorite thing on Book Bistro. I know a lot of us like it, including me. Louise Manson is the newest student at Highfield Manor, which is the most exclusive private school in Dublin. Behind its granite walls are high-arched alcoves, an oak-lined library, and the dark secret that Lou has come to expose. So she's not just there for education. She's there to take somebody or something down, apparently. Lou's working class status makes her the consummate outsider until she's befriended by some of her beautiful and wealthy classmates. But because she is attempting to bring a secret to light, her time at Highfield does not end well. In fact, it ends with a lifeless body sprawled at her feet. So fast forward to 30 years later, Lou gets a shocking phone call from a high-profile lawyer. He's bringing a suit against the school, and he wants Lou to testify. So this means that Lou is going to have to confront her past and discover what actually happened at that school once and for all. So this looks like something I really want to read right now, but I will wait because it doesn't come out until May 2nd. Well, actually, that's not very far away, so I don't have to wait that long. This is When We Were Silent by Fiona McPhillips.
My second book of the night is also a thriller. And I don't know if I'm just attracted to the thrillers coming out in May or if May is the month of thrillers. I have yet to make up my mind. However, this is The Last Time She Saw Him by Kate White and takes place in the summer of New York City. It seems like it's a very sunny summer, but not so for Kiki Reed, who has just broken off her engagement to her fiancé, Jamie Larson. And Jamie is a good guy, but he's just not the one, whatever that means. And while Kiki knows she made the right decision, she feels a lot of guilt about having hurt him in order to do so for herself. Well, Kiki is invited to a party hosted in Connecticut country townhouse of her old friend, and she knows that Jamie will be there. And so she decides that she's going to get there first so that she can minimize the damage of having to interact with him in front of a group of people. They do interact and everything is pleasant, actually, and probably gives her more peace than she expected. Then the party is ending and we hear a gunshot. And when everyone walks out, well, there is Jamie in the car, dead with a gunshot wound to his head. Now the police is about to rule it a suicide. But somehow, Kiki doesn't think that this was a suicide. In fact, she thinks that Jamie was murdered. But what happens when she tries to investigate this to prove the truth? Because she is determined to find it, we know. But she can't get the police to take her seriously, first off. And then as she peels away the layers of what happened, she uncovers something far more sinister than she could have imagined. And maybe now her life is on the line next. To know what happens to Kiki and what happened to Jamie and how he ended up dead, you want to read The Last Time She Saw Him, a standalone thriller by Kate White. And this book is going to be released on May 14th, 2024. Now, everything I've read by Kate White, I have liked very much. I think there have not been any misses for me, and I very much look forward to her thrillers because I never know. I never know what's going to happen or where she's going, and they always end up surprising me. And I think that's what we look for in a thriller more than anything else. We definitely want a roller coaster. And while these thrillers aren't always roller coasters, they definitely have these long winding roads to a cliff that you're not expecting. So that works for me.
All right. So my next book is one that I have been looking forward to for quite a while now. This is This Book Won't Burn by Samira Ahmed, and it comes out on May 7th. This is another kind of young adult social justice themed novel, which is personally what I think this author does best. Her novel Internment is like one of my very favorite books of this type. So in this book, we're looking at book banning, which, you know, is a terrible thing. So Noor is our main character, and she and her father have moved from Chicago, and she feels like she's a million miles away from everything she knows, all of her friends, and it's coming to the end of her senior year. So she'll be graduating with a bunch of people that she doesn't know, and this does not make her happy. But there's nothing she can do about it. Like, you know, they've already moved, and she just has to keep her head down and get through what's left of school, and then she can move on, hopefully, to bigger and better things. But this doesn't really work out so well, because once she gets to her new school and she starts to, you know, kind of settle in, look around, she realizes that the library there is really, really low on books by authors of color, by queer authors. And she starts looking into this, and she realizes that a lot of these books are being banned. And this is something, you know, growing up in Chicago, which she feels like is sort of the diverse, you know, mecca. And now she's in this small town, and people are banning books, and she knows that this isn't right. Like, she knows that reading is the key to exploration, education, knowledge, and she wants people to have that avenue open to them. And so her idea of just kind of keeping her head down and getting through school kind of goes up in smoke as she is now determined to stand up for what she believes in and hopefully reverse some of these book bans. So this is another one that I will be reading as soon as it comes out. I have pre-ordered this. I love this author so much, and I hate book bans so much. So this is This Book Won't Burn by Samira Ahmed, and it comes out on May 7th. Don't ban books.
Banning books is bad.
Yes, it is.
Very, very bad. My second book of the evening is Better Left Unsent by Leah Lewis. And I really loved, I think it was last year's release. It was key to my heart. I thought it was just a really lovely book. So I was really excited when I saw that she had a new one coming out in May. And in fact, it comes out on May 21st. This book is about Millie Chandler. And Millie Chandler is a receptionist. And 2 years ago, she got broken up with in a very public fashion, and she feels pretty horrified by that. So because of that experience, because it was so public and everyone had access to her reaction to that experience, she's decided to be a completely closed book. She's going to keep everything to herself, her hopes, her dreams, her thoughts, everything, because then she can't get hurt like that again. But you know, she has to have an outlet somewhere, friends. You can't keep everything bottled up. You have to like let it spew somewhere. And she does. In emails that she saves in her drafts folder. Harsh emails to her boss, you know, like sarcastic emails and emails to her friends, writing about hard truths. And then also that 1,000 word declaration of love that she wrote to her ex, who's now engaged. But it's fine because all those are in her drafts folder. Until there's a power outage at work, or a systems outage. And the next morning when she wakes up, all of those emails have been sent. All of them. Every single one. And now Millie Chandler has to figure out how to fix everything that she's damaged with the words that she's written. And that, my friends, is all I know. But that's all I need to know. I love books that include writing, even if it's like slanderous emails that are written like behind someone's back. I love books that have any even like the casual hint of an epistolary element. So I'm very much looking forward to reading this. And Leah Lewis has proven herself to be a lovely emotional read for me in the past. So I am looking forward to reading Better Left Unsent by Leah Lewis, and it comes out on May 21st.
If you are open, it does. If you're open to YA, which you have become, you know, a little more YA tolerant, there's a book called I Hope This Doesn't Find You by Anne Liang. And it's sort of similar to this with like, you know, these, like, I don't remember if they're emails or letters. I haven't read them. I haven't read it yet, but it's on my library hold list. But it's like a bunch of things that she writes that are just sort of, you know, supposed to be like for herself, end up being disseminated. And she has to kind of, you know, put the pieces back together.
My next book is called Fake Dating a Witch, a magical summer solstice romance.
Say that fast. Yay. Five times.
I know it. Bewitching Billionaires Book One by Bridget Hunt, which comes out May 30th. Fake dating my high school crush. What could possibly go wrong? Everything?
Oh, gosh.
Says, years ago, my sister and I cast a love spell. We had to convince our grandmother, who is a world-renowned potions master, into mixing this up. Enter Grant Humphreys, who is a medical personnel with a damaged hand. So I show up on his doorstep with a proposal. Fake date me until I can find a spell powerful enough to fix my hand or his hand. Until feelings get involved. This is Fake Dating a Witch, a magical summer solstice romance. Bewitching Billionaires, Book One by Bridget Hunt, which comes out May 30th. Now, this looks fun because
I need this.
See all the things that goes wrong.
Like, yes.
I totally see. And wait till grandma finds out what she's done.
My next book is Southern Man.
Yay.
Number 7 by Greg Iles. And we'll have to wait to May 28th to read it. However, I already have it on pre-order.
That's what do I.
So do I. I really love this series. And it takes place 15 years after the events of the Natchez Burning trilogy, which I read so long ago that I might have to go back and read it so I can reread it if I can find it, so I can reread the trilogy and trying to catch up. All of his he's alone. All of his loved ones are dead, and everyone is gone. So he carries like the secret. And it's all related to a person named Bobby White, who is running for president. So the story looks like it's going to be following this whole mishmash or revenge, I'm trying to say, because the synopsis doesn't really say, about Bobby White and his secrets. So basically, Penn Cage has been a prosecutor and a lawyer that brought down lots of big people. And this Bobby White will be the next one hopefully. That he brings down, hopefully. And that is Southern Man, Penn Cage number 7. And it comes out on May 28th. And I already pre-ordered it.
I'm so sad that, like, that means, you know, his mom is dead. Like, we knew about his dad. But, like, I really liked his mom. He went to prison. Yeah. And I really liked his mom. And, like, it's just... daughter. Annie, no, she's not dead.
Yeah, she's not dead, but it doesn't say really much about
her. I think I read in a review that she's, like, a civil rights attorney or something.
Good. So, I loved Annie.
Yeah, I like Annie.
Also coming out on May 7th, I seem to have a lot of May 7th books this week, The Brides of High Hill, Singing Hills Cycle, Book 5, by Nevo. Now, I really like Nevo's writing, but there are now, or about to be, 5 books in the Singing Hills Cycle, and I've only read one. So I have a lot of catching up to do. I've read at least one of their other standalone novels, maybe more. And they're just such an excellent writer. So much beautiful detail, lovely fantasy, and it's just really good. The cleric Chi accompanies a beautiful young bride to her wedding. Her wedding to the aging ruler of a crumbling estate situated at the crossroads of 2 dead empires. The bride's party is welcomed with elaborate ceremonies and courtesies and extravagant banquets. But between the frightened servants and the cryptic warnings of the Lord's mad son, they quickly realize that something is haunting the shadowed halls. As Chi and the bride-to-be explore empty rooms and desolate courtyards, they are drawn into the mystery of what became of Lord Gu's previous wives, and the dark history of Du Cao itself. But as the wedding night draws to its close, Chi will learn at their peril that not all monsters are to be found in the shadows. Some monsters are in plain sight. Ooh, that does sound like a gothic mystery. So once again, this is The Brides of High Hill, Singing Hills Cycle number 5 by Nevo. And this comes out on May 7th.
The second book I'm going to talk about is April, May, June, July by Allison B. Hart. It comes out on the 14th of May. It's a family story that is an exploration of privilege, identity, and love in all its forms. We follow 4 estranged siblings whose lives collide in the lead up to a family wedding, when new information about their missing father surfaces. April, May, June, and July Barber. I think that's interesting that those are their names. They don't have much in common anymore. But this upcoming family wedding puts them all in the same room together for the first time in years. But shortly before, April spots their father, who went missing while serving overseas a decade ago. And when she spots their father, their reunion becomes a lot more complicated. And while the siblings search for the truth about their father and are forced back into each other's lives, it also intensifies their private dramas. April loves her husband but seeks excitement outside their marriage. May had big dreams for the future, but she's still stuck living at home. June is eager to marry her girlfriend, so why does she need a drink at every wedding-related event? And then there's baby brother July, whose unrequited love for his straight roommate has him more confused than ever. Confronting the past together, these four siblings will find not only answers about their father, but new romance, hope, and understanding as they learn to embrace the beauty of their shared history. Once again, this is April, May, June, July by Allison B. Hart, and it comes out May 14th.
The last book I will be talking about tonight is a number four in a series. Yes, I know I am a stickler for order, but I have followed this series since its beginning and I love it more and more with every book. This is Skies Over Caledonia, The Highlands Book 4 by Samantha Young. The Highlands is a series that is a spin-off of the Adair Family series. So since you still have to wait until May 9th, 2024 to pick up this gem, I suggest that you catch up and read the entire Adair series and then the Highland series so you could be ready for book four. That's what I would do, because trust me, all of the books in these series have been amazing. So, Skies Over Caledonia is about Jared McCulloch, who inherited his grandfather Colin's farm 5 years ago upon his death. He wants to honor his grandfather's legacy, but he's had a lot of bad luck that has him in dire straits at the moment. And, well, his estranged father is now disputing the will and his rights to the farm. Meanwhile, Allegra Howard is an artist who wants to settle down and expand her business in Scotland, but immigration is not having it and wants to send her to the United States again. So Jared and Allegra must help each other with a marriage of convenience, one of my favorite tropes ever. Allegra will invest in Jared's farm so he won't lose it, and he, in turn, by being her Scottish husband, will straighten out her problems with immigration. However, their searing attraction for each other does not make living together easy. And, well, blurring the lines of their arrangement is the least of their concern when someone starts terrorizing the farm. And maybe, eventually, what seems to matter most to both of them is not the farm or business, but one another, even though Jared is not ready for such emotional commitments. But to see what happens between Jared and Allegra, who's terrorizing the farm, and what ghosts from the past are haunting both of these characters, you want to read Skies Over Caledonia, The Highlands, Book 4 by Samantha Young, coming out May 9th, 2024. Samantha Young is one of my favorite romance writers. I very much love her characters, her family, both found and biological, her display of female friendships, and basically everything about her books and what they stand for.
So my last book is Thirsty by Joss Hammonds, and this comes out on May 14th. So I read We Deserve Monuments by Hammonds. It was like the first book I read in 2023, and it was an incredible read. So I am super excited that we have a new book by this author. So this is about Blake, and Blake and her girlfriend Ella have recently been invited to join this sorority, kind of a like secret society thing. And this is called the Serena Society. And like a lot of these societies, especially, you know, as we get into college time, people are promised, you know, that if you get into this group, you're going to have everything you need, like to set you up for life. You're going to be ready for success. You'll have all these fabulous connections. And Blake really wants this for herself. She struggles a lot, and she feels like with a society like this behind her, maybe some of her struggles will be made easier. But Blake is a little socially awkward, and the only thing that helps her is drinking. And so she gets kind of swept up into this haze of alcohol and hard partying just to prove herself to this group of young women that run the Serena Society. And when all of this comes to a head, and I don't know how it comes to a head, but apparently it will, she has to make some difficult choices, both for herself and for Ella, and maybe even for the society as a whole. So this looks like kind of an intense read. I know that We Deserve Monuments was definitely intense, but sometimes, you know, we need some intensity, and Joss Hammonds really does a great job of bringing her characters to life where you feel like their struggles are so relatable, even if their experiences are nothing like yours. So this is Thirsty by Joss Hammonds, and it comes out on May 14th.
My final book of the evening is by a husband and wife duo who are new authors to me, but I always like when two authors team up to write a book. This is The Road Trip Rewind by Kate and Danny Tamborelli, and it comes out on May 21st. So Beatrix is an up-and-coming screenwriter whose dreams are finally coming true because her 90s-era script is finally in production, and it's been a long time coming. But the one sort of less exciting aspect of this project for her is that they had to get an A-lister to play the starring role in this. And it just so happens that the starring role is played by A-list actor Rocco Riziero. Because that's not a mouthful or anything. And, you know, that'd be fine and everything. It'd get her, it would get her script some good kind of awareness and everything, except for that Rocco jilted Beatrix during a New Year's Eve party back in 1999. And now he's, you know, working on this project with her and doesn't even recognize her. Tool. Ugh. I'd be pissed too if I were Beatrix. And now we have this Rocco person who is excited to kind of step out of his sort of typecasted roles of, you know, in like pretty boy roles. So he's really excited about the role he gets to play here, but he's really confused by the vitriol of the screenwriter and like why basically she's like kind of at him, you know, at every turn. And, you know, she knows that she needs to like kind of hold things together so that this project can succeed, but she just really does not like Rocco. And embarrassingly, one night they start fighting with each other, and because of it they get into a car accident out in front of the very place where the 1999 era, you know, where that New Year's Eve party happened. And then, oh shoot, it's still December and it's still LA, but you know what, friends, somehow, even though they survived the car crash and the car is fine and they're fine, somehow these two clowns ended up back in 1999 in December, and they have to work together to figure out how to get back to their lives. And as they're doing this, obviously feelings begin to develop, as so often happens, and they have to hope that by returning to the present, you know, they can kind of either fix what happened, but without doing too much damage to either of their lives. So it's time travel. It's sort of, you know, lovers to enemies to lovers. It's about a Hollywood. It's a show. So it's all things that I enjoy reading quite a lot. So on May 21st, I will look forward to checking out Road Trip Rewind by Kate and Danny Tamborelli.
So my last book of the evening is Mind Games by Nora Roberts, which comes out May 28th. Now, this looks really, really good. So the Foxes, they go to drop off their kids every summer with their grandparents in the Appalachians. And they've been driving these roads for a long time. Fee is happy that she gets to be with her grandmother again, run wild through the fields, smell her grandmother's baking bread and new candles. But she shares a terrible gift with her grandmother, which is the gift of sight and knowing things. And they both have the same fear and know that they will Fee and her grandmother will have the same fear, and they know that something terrible has happened. The grandkids will be permanently staying with their grandmother. Fee's grandmother calls it a gift, but she thinks of it as a curse. The person who murdered her parents will spend the rest of his life locked up for this crime. Through the years, Fee grows up and finds, you know, dates, goes to school, has relationships, but yet she's still burdened with this terrible gift as she thinks about it. But she can also sense that her parents' killer has the same gift, and she can see what he plans to do to his victims. And these two end up in a terrible game where they eventually will meet. This is Mind Games by Nora Roberts, which comes out May 28th. Now, nobody can do suspense like Nora. And I bet you the two visions, like the two people having, are going to be good.
And I love when she brings just a little touch of magic into her suspense. That just makes it all
a little bit of the paranormal.
Yes.
This is If Something Happens to Me by Alex Finlay. And it comes out also on May 28th. Now, it follows the story of Ryan Richardson. And he has been living this trauma thing for 5 years. His girlfriend is taken out of a car. He is injured and she disappears. They don't know where she is, and they believe he killed her. So they have not ever found her car or anything else. He gets a lawyer and they can't prove that he did it, so they let him go. And then, while he's in Italy on a law school trip, after changing his name, going to law school, his father tells him they found the car. But they didn't find Allie. They only found two dead men and a cryptic note. But he remembers a man, and he swears he's seen this man in Italy. So the whole story is him trying to figure out what caused this, who's this stranger, and basically that's our story that we have to wait and read and follow. And this is If Something Happens to Me by Alex Finlay, and it comes out on May the 28th.
Just like Nora Roberts.
Ooh.
Comes out on May 28th.
Last up from me for this episode, I'm breaking my May 7th streak. Don't Be a Drag by Skye Quinlan. This comes out on May 18th. This author is new to me. Their work was recommended by Shannon. I don't know if Shannon has read them or just suggested that I talk about this book this month. But either way, I'm really excited about this book now. So, 18-year-old Briar Vincent's mental health is plunging into a turn for the worst. And her parents send her to spend the summer in New York City with her older brother, Beau, also known as the drag queen Beauregard. Hanging out backstage at the gay bar where Beau performs, Briar just wants to be a fly on the wall. But she can't stand by when the cute but conceited drag king Spencer Reed tries to put down another up-and-coming performer. To prove to him that even a brand new performer could knock him off his pedestal, Briar signs up for the annual drag king competition. There's just one flaw in her plan. Briar has never done drag before. With the help of her brother and a few new friends, Briar becomes Edgar Allan Poe, a drag king hellbent on taking Spencer down. But unless she can learn how to shake her anxiety and perform, she doesn't stand a chance of winning Drag King of the Year. Overcoming her depression and inner demons, or avoiding falling for her enemy, who might not be so bad after all. This sounds really fun. Also a little bit unique. Usually when we get any reference to drag in books, it is to drag queens, not drag kings. So I'm really excited to see this aspect of the drag performance world brought into the light. So once again, this is Don't Be a Drag by Skye Quinlan, and it comes out on May 18th.
My last book for this episode is In the Shallows by Tanya Byrne, and it comes out on the 21st of May. It's a young adult novel, and it's about two girls who set out to unravel a mystery tied to the sea and fall in love along the way. On New Year's Day, three fishermen haul a teenage girl out of the ocean, but by the time they get her to shore, she doesn't know who or where she is. Her story goes viral. The media calls her Nicoletta, which is what the ship is called that the fishermen who rescued her have. The next time the sailors head out to sea, they don't return, and so now the rumors take a very dark twist, and this becomes legend now. People say Nicoletta lured them to her deaths, sort of like their lives in exchange for hers. So now we have a legend. So 18 months later, Mara Malachar is in a cafe, and she meets Nicoletta, or Nico, as she is now called. They become fast friends, but as Mara realizes she wants more from the relationship, Nico is oblivious to that. She's only focused on remembering. But she may not want to remember. Could there be a reason she's locked everything behind a door? And once she's brave enough to open it, what will happen to her and what will happen to them? Wow. So that is In the Shallows by Tanya Byrne. And it comes out on May 21st.
So this concludes our most anticipated releases of May episode. Thank you so much to Christine, Melissa, Georgina, Stacy, Natalia, and Robin for joining me tonight. As always, when she participates, thanks goes out to Christine twice for both her editing and her participation. And of course, we thank each and every one of you so very much for joining us each week as we talk about great books.
If you would like to let us know your thoughts, you can do that by leaving us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or any other platform you use to access the show. And not only does it allow us to see your feedback, but it also helps other book lovers to find us, which is a great thing. So I will be back next Tuesday morning with more bookish fabulousness. And some number of us will be back on Friday with more discussion of great books. Take care, everybody.